Well, another day, another podcast, and the first time that producer Felix has weaseled his way into the opener in the podcast. First, it was in the top of hours of the show, then it was the day I was away, and now it's just like, you know what, I reckon I could do a better job here. Good to have you. What was the best part of the show?
Oh, there were some very good parts of the show.
I'd say that the best part was when we proved to the whole of Australia that psychics are just a concept and not a real thing. I did blow the whistle on something in the psychic industry, something in the clairvoyant industry, that my oh my, it's going to blow your hat as well. And warning, if you're a firm believer in psychic readings and practices, you might want to turn your iPod down right now. We had someone who claimed to be a psychic. I'm still struggling to realise if they were a legitimate psychic, whether they were unstable, or whether it was just a prankster who made it to air.
Or all of the above.
All of the above could be a legitimate answer, D, because he was so far off the mark to what spirits he thought were rolling around in my world that it even reinforced even more that I was more correct than I could ever begin to believe. Also, Dr. Nikki, she answered my question. I wanted to know, am I addicted to sex? Yes, probably, but hashtag every day is a struggle. I'll keep working on it. She can't hold this dog back. And also, shit cereals. I mean, there are so many out there, but which ones made it to air? Find out in the podcast.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Right now, this is something that's going to annoy a lot of people out there. Whether they're in the industry and they're saying that I'm bringing shame and exposing one of the biggest lies and secrets of this world, or someone who passionately believes in something so hard that they don't want to believe what I'm about to say. And what I'm about to say is 100% fact and verbatim of something that I heard someone in the industry tell me, and they didn't realise I was part of the mainstream media. And they didn't realise that I was someone who isn't afraid to blow whistles, who isn't afraid to be a scapegoat, isn't afraid to lift the lid on something, because I think this might help a lot of vulnerable people out there. This happened a couple of months ago, and it's reminded me because earlier on tonight, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here was on, and John Edward, that billionaire psychic who's been messing with people's minds all around the world, did a reading and was claiming that he was making contact with Princess Diana. And then because Princess Diana's old butler is also in the jungle, and people are going, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think this is legit. And the poor butler was like, oh, wow, yes, 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 I think so. Yes, I think so. Well, get this, all right? I emceed an event a couple of months back, and there was a psychic slash tarot card reader there. And I had to be there early because I was hosting the event. This was whilst the doors were still closed. People were setting up things. People were getting all the stalls ready, preparing for the event. And I was just standing around. And I got talking to this psychic, this clairvoyant, this tarot card reader who was setting up her stuff. And I was quite interested in it. I was like, oh, cool. How long have you been doing this kind of thing for? And she said, oh, well, I used to have an office job and I just got bored of doing that and I wanted to create my own business and run my own business and be my own boss, but I didn't really have any skills or anything. So I learned how to read tarot cards. I was like, oh yeah, cool. How long does it take to read tarot cards, and have you always known that you've had this psychic ability? And she says, oh no, 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 no. I'm not a psychic. The whole industry is a lie. I just like taking people's money and getting to work for my own business. Seriously? I thought, oh my God, what is this information I've stumbled across? And I've kept it secret for so long, and I finally garnered the strength to break it and bring it to the mainstream, because I think psychics are getting away with murder. I've never believed in psychics myself, but there are some people who are so into it. And what I think on 131060, before I shut this door once and for all and close my mind off to the clairvoyant psychic tarot card reading hocus pocus mystic Meg world, we've got to do this. You turned my opinion right round with your well-constructed arguments and your pronouns. Turn my opinion right round right now, psychics on 131060. I reckon psychics around the country are gobsmacked right now. And just before they're about to go on their little 2 a.m. psychic TV program where they prey on the vulnerable, They'll be listening into this thinking, oh, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now, have you had a dealing with the psychic in the past? And it was so bang on. Now, this is going to have to be a pretty amazing story to turn my opinion right round, okay? Because that's just hearsay. That's just you say. I get it, okay, mate? Coincidences happen in this life. Something has to happen all the time. Every now and then, something A conjoins and runs parallel with something B. I get that. We also used to do a show where we had a clairvoyant on, and she insisted it was a pre-recorded thing because we wouldn't play the ones that were unsuccessful. We did about 10 calls. She got it right for about three of them. We just played those three and gave the illusion that she was 100% right. And that was her who made us do that, not us. So many times she was wrong. One time this girl was like, oh, do you think I'll find love? And she was like, oh, yeah, I think you will. I think you've already met her, actually. I think she's tall, in her late 50s, blonde, leggy, attractive. And then he goes, well, I'm gay. And then she's like, right, hang up. We're not putting that one on the air. I mean, come on. Fair shake. Are you a psychic? And ring up right now and tell me something that's going to blow my mind, because I won't believe it just if someone else is like, oh, yeah, I went to a psychic. If you're a real psychic and can have real psychic abilities and do psychic readings over the phone, you should be able to tell me right now something crazy that's going to blow my mind. 131060, turn my opinion right round. Psychics, I've heard it straight from the psychic's mouth on two occasions now, and I'm sick of it. Sorry if this is news to you. We'll get some calls on the air next. Try turn the opinion round. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
You turned my opinion right round with your well-constructed arguments and your pronouns.
Now, I mean, I'm willing to turn my opinion around. I'm willing to change my mind. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people whose opinions is set in stone, set in concrete. I can easily chuck a 180 at any time. But what else am I supposed to believe at this point? When the two biggest pieces of evidence that I've had presented to me in my life is one, a clairvoyant, psychic, a tarot card reader said right to my face that the whole industry is a con and she only does it for money and it's very easy to learn ways to tell people things that they believe. And the second time, we had a clairvoyant who wanted to do a weekly thing on the show but wanted to pre-record it, do about 10 phone calls, play the most accurate three, giving the illusion to listeners that she had 100% success rate. These are the two biggest chunks of information that I've had in my life. So what else am I supposed to believe at this point? It's always someone else doing this. Coincidences happen. 131060, Michelle from Gippsland. Can you turn my opinion right round when I say that I don't think psychics are a real thing?
Hey, big dog. I'm not sure if I can turn your opinion around, but I do have something that made my mind up for me was an experience. I have a younger sister and there's like a 10-year age gap between us. And we lived in a court and she used to always wander off to the court. It was probably 5 or 6 houses away and she was only 3 years of age. And, you know, you go out there and you say, what are you doing? Because she always appeared like she was talking to somebody. And all the time, I was just talking to my poppy, and to her it was normal. And, you know, we never really thought much of it at the time. But then, you know, we're talking to Mum about it and Mum said to us, like, pointed out to us because we didn't really think about it, that our pop actually passed away before my sister was born. So she wouldn't know who he was to be able to say that's who she was talking to. And Mum got out a photo album and was going through pictures with her. I was like, you know, who's that? You know, that's Uncle Stephen and, you know, that's my dad. And, you know, found some photos of Poppy and Mum turned the page and she didn't even have to ask her. She was like, that's my Poppy.
Now, it is a good story and I believe you 100% and I believe that your youngest sister believes what she sees and what happened there. Maybe I didn't make it entirely clear. What kind of gets my goat is people that are trying to rip off other people by pretending that they know other things about their life. So for me, it would be a lot more conceivable that your younger sister is maybe getting approached by a spirit of a deceased grandparent who wants to come back and make contact. I can almost understand it and half kind of believe that.
But what they say is that kids have an innocence about them. So when spirits contact a child, they don't have a fear of it. So as adults, like if we were to be contacted, it would scare us. So we're not open-minded. Mm. Where children are open-minded. My sister's now 19 years of age. And she still, like, she can't go. We have a local town called Valhalla, and like it's known, like it's got the cemetery and stuff up there and from the gold fields and stuff like that. And so my sister can't go there. Like if we go there for a family barbecue and stuff,
she sees other people, like people that aren't related to her, that are related to other things.
The spirits.
Love to get your sister on. I'd love your sister to be ringing up the show and tell me something about me. That's what's going to have to push me over the line. Thank you, Michelle. I really do. I appreciate it. I do. But it's always someone else. It's always someone else. My sister does this. My friend did that. It's going to take more than someone going, well, I saw a psychic. They said I'd be running into money. And guess what? The week after, I got a new job. No. It's got to happen. It's got to blow my mind. It doesn't seem any live psychics are willing to put their name on the record right now and blow minds. It's always someone else. Daniel from Bendigo, are you a psychic?
Absolutely not, big dog.
Doesn't surprise me.
I'll tell you what, I do have a bit of a story for you.
Go for it.
So one of my mates, we all play footy in Central Victoria. He reckons he's the biggest dog of them all. He reckons he's the best player.
Well, second biggest dog, anyway.
He said, you know what, I'll get drafted one day.
Yeah, okay.
We're all drinking around one of those glass tables with some plastic chairs. And we're like, nah, mate, no way.
Yeah.
You got no chance.
Yeah.
But then a couple of months later, his mum is the psychic. And the psychic says, look, you've got a son, right? And his mum's like, yeah, you've got a son. Psychic goes, he reckons he's good, right? Like, he thinks he's going to cruise through life, right? He's got a rude shot coming his way because the bloke doesn't know how to take a mark or hit a kick to save his life.
Well, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I like that there's some self-confessed AFL footy psychic getting around with some bang-on predictions. I don't mind it. But once again, happened to a friend. Here's say you say. And I'm not saying that I don't. No, I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm not saying I don't believe you. And I'm not saying that didn't happen. But for me, you know what I mean? I need something
Absolutely. To
hit me in the face. Hit me
to
in the
honest,
face. It's a good story.
To be honest,
mate.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel. Good story. Chelsea from Newcastle on 131060. Are you a psychic?
Somewhat.
Oh, come on. What's me nan's name? When did she die?
So there's different types. So what happens is you get those people, but sometimes I don't believe that most of the time because, like Daniel's story before, that psychic could have gone through that lady's Facebook and found that her son plays football, etc., etc. So most of those are pretty...
And
dodgy.
And can I say that the clairvoyant that came out to me and said that the tarot card thing was a whole heap of bullshit, she is well known for doing Facebook stalks. She says that that's a thing that she does. If she's got a client that's booked in, she will dead set try and stalk them and use that as ammo as well in very subtle ways.
Yeah, and that's really bad. But
it is.
And you do get genuine people. Like our house, like as we grew up with it, is very, very haunted. It sounds silly, but it's so true. So we've kind of been brought up with all these weird things happening in there. So you kind of pick up on it more. Like, I drive past the Maitland jail now, and it's just, you get feelings around people.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah. I believe you, but like I've said, I believe you. But that's like I can't just be going off other people. Why isn't it happening to me? I'm an open-minded rooster. Seriously. Thank you, Chelsea. And I tell you what, there's a lot of calls coming through, and producer Felix seems to be pulling his hair out. And I reckon there's a lot of people who just go down on a Saturday market, buy dream catchers, and are saying, yes, it's real. I don't care about your psychic stories anymore. We can go on psychic stories all day. Where is a psychic ringing up right now to put themselves live on the air and say, hey, Lakey, I'm a real psychic. X, Y, Z, blow mind, bam. It's not happening. Kelly from Milt Drut. Are you a psychic?
Ooh.
Spirits. Come in, Kelly from Mount Druitt.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Are you a psychic?
I'm not a psychic.
No.
But
Lakey, we can do 5 hours of psychic stories.
Wait, I did see a psychic. In 97, and it was an old lady at some Easter show at the old Boredom Pavilion, right? And they told me that they'd see, I'd have 2 kids, a boy and a girl. I'd be with a past love that I don't know it yet, but I know my future partner, and I see Dale's in your future, but I can't tell you if it's good or bad, right? And someone close to me was going to fall pregnant soon. My next door neighbor fell pregnant, and she was like 45 years old and had teenage kids. I had a boy and a girl. I ended up with the guy that I first kissed when I was 14 years old, and I ran into him about 3 years later. And I ended up with a drug problem, and he ended up being in jail when I ended up getting with him after he was in jail. And I ended up being in jail myself because I'd done some silly things when I was younger.
Well, no offense, sometimes you can just tell that some people are going to end up in jail. It might have just been an educated guess.
No, I was perfectly good back then. Like, I had a very, very good upbringing.
But I know someone who's been in jail. I'm sure that someone I know will be falling pregnant within the next 3 months. I'll put the house on it that's going to happen. It's educated guesses. Not taking any more psychic stories. Just legitimate psychics. Jason from Melbourne, are you a psychic?
I am a psychic.
Fantastic. All right.
I had a feeling to call you. I was walking down through a park and I had a feeling to call 131060.
No way. You're not even listening to the show?
I'm not even listening to the show. I had just a gut feeling, you know, something telling me to
This is what we're
you.
Talking about. This is what we're
Sorry,
talking about.
What's your name?
My name's Danny.
Danny?
Danny Lakey. Shouldn't have said that because you can probably Facebook-stalk me.
And I feel like you're lying to me. I'm already getting that type of energy.
Okay, well, it's Daniel Lakey, if you want to get really specific.
Yeah, that sounds right. How are you, mate?
Very good, thank you.
Continue.
You continue. What else do you want to know? How many? Who's my nan trying to contact me? What's her name? When did she die?
Okay, hold on. Put your hand out. Put your hand out.
Yes.
And just wave it in circular motions.
Yes.
I'm feeling the energy. It's coming to me. Wakey, wakey. I said, wave your hand in the air. Get it off your snakey.
It's not on my snakey. For the first time in my life, it's not on my snakey.
All right. Your nan and your pop, they're from Melbourne, weren't they?
Yes,
there's a deep connection from them coming from the Carlton area.
Okay. Oh, now he's hung up. Wow.
Is your opinion turned around?
My nan had a one-night stand to produce my mother, so the pop is not in the question. And this all happened in Canada.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Let's have sex.
I had sex with her.
And live. I'm gonna live
my life. With Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Yeah, she's a sexologist, she's a relationship expert, and she's an author. And I'm a mature radio broadcaster. Years ago, I would have giggled just at the opener, Dr. Nikki, but I've come so far since then, and we're ready to talk serious sex.
Well, I feel like I'll be the one that giggles because I'm the sexologist that still has my mind in the gutter.
Oh, God. Get your mind out of the gutter. This is a highbrow show. I'm gunning to get on the ABC one day, so don't wreck this for me. This is my time.
All right. I'll try hard.
Hey, just a quick one off the bat. I was wondering, and I sometimes ask the guests this, do you go to the toilet whilst your partner's brushing his teeth? Like, do you share the bathroom? It'd be interesting to get a sexologist's take on that.
Okay. I feel like you can urinate in front of your partner. Anything beyond that, I just hear people say that you need some mystery in a relationship. It's not even about mystery. I just don't see why anybody would actually want to do a number two in front of their partner. Like, it's just not, I don't know if I'm alone in this one, but it's just not appealing. So I'm thinking urinating is all fine. Like, if he's brushing his teeth and you've got to take a pee or they're in the shower, but anything beyond that, do we have to?
Because sometimes if I'm in the shower, I can't hear the plops or smell the plops coming from about 2 metres away from me. And I've always had a theory as well. I'm like, surely that incognito sort of just listening to a poo sound is a lot less invasive than having some doggy style sex and staring right into the eye of the buttocks itself.
I just don't want somebody there while I'm on the toilet.
Okay, fair enough. That's agree to disagree.
End of story. And I suppose, you know what? I'm greedy. I have multiple toilets in my apartment, so it doesn't have to happen.
Oh, I see. different strokes for different folks. I'm pretty much just a peasant, and there's about 5 people sharing the same en suite. So.
Well, then you've got to do it. Yeah.
All Oi, me and my main squeeze at the moment, we're sort of like delging into swinging and open relationships. We're actually hitting the swingers club this Friday for the first time. But the problems have already started to arise. Jealousy, etc. And I just wonder, I'm like, hang on a second. Like, do I actually have this open relationship mentality? Or am I just some sort of greedy person with a sex addiction who's trying to cover it up with the whole, we can see everyone kind of thing?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that you're already having issues arise, like jealousy and so forth, I would probably take that as a big red flag. Because if you're already getting issues with jealousy now, it's not going to get any better when you head down to your local club or your sex club. But you really think, I think you need to challenge your intentions for why you're doing it. You know, if you guys are there and you think, listen, we're really open sexually and free, we don't believe that a relationship should just be with one person, we want to explore this, then great. But you've got to also be on the same page with that. If one person's more keen, the other person's thinking, you know what, I don't know, I feel like I just got to go with this to please my man, then that's where there might be issues. Now, we did an episode where we did go to a sex club, and I really sit on the fence with it. And I feel like it could work for some people, but I also question that there's a lot of people there who, you know, maybe, you know, are being a bit greedy. They love the idea of seeing their female partner with another female, but they won't have any men involved. There's an ego attached to it. Maybe they're exhibitionists. So I feel like you've really got to work out why are you doing that and challenge yourself on that reason. Now, in terms of the whole sex addiction thing, it's a really interesting topic because I don't like the word sex addiction. I don't think that we should be using the word addiction and sex. Because sex is a positive, great thing. And yes, you can have negative behaviors that are involved with it. But when you say the word addiction, people think of drugs and alcohol. Why should we lump something like sex in the same category as drugs and alcohol? How do we even define how many times is too many to have sex? You know when you're having too much alcohol, you know when you're having too many drugs because you're not functioning as a human being in society. What happens if you are keeping your job down pat, you're paying your bills, you're doing everything right, and you're having sex a lot of times per week? Maybe somebody in the same situation can't hold down their job, is too distracted, is sneaking away, is spending their money on prostitutes, things like that. That's the point where we go, you know what, sex might be a problem with you, but we can't define it by a number.
Very tough indeed, isn't it? Because there's many situations, and yeah, like maybe one person, like four times a week, sex is enough, and for other people, they might have a higher sex drive, and they need it like 14 times a week. I was on your blog, drnicky.com.au. That's Nicky with two K's in the middle. I checked out one of your blogs that said getting creative when you have nothing to wear, right? And I thought, how does this translate in the bedroom? Because my main squeeze is always like, ooh, gotta buy some new sexy panties. Ooh, gotta buy this, gotta buy that. And I was like, I got three words for you. Black electrical tape. Have you ever used black electrical tape? It's so sexy. Or like shaved
100%
legs.
100% no.
You, no,
just,
do
just
it.
Just imagine how that would feel, ripping off your body. I mean, I was the kid that liked clag glue on my hand and then I would rip it off like it was another skin. But I don't think I could do the electrical tape. I actually have lingerie. I'm a fan of the lingerie, not the electrical tape, but apparently it's a thing now.
It is a thing, and it's a very good thing. Ladies are getting waxed and all the time. As long as you've got freshly shaved legs, the electrical tape, it doesn't hurt when it's coming off. I'm not talking about mummifying yourself in black electrical tape, just like sort of like wrapping it around
unless,
your calves or something.
Unless that's what you really like, because if you like mummifying yourself in electrical tape, who are we to say that that's wrong?
That's fine as well. But what I'm talking about is just a couple of sneaky lines around the calves and thighs. Painless, very sexy, and great for lingerie on a budget.
Well, you know what? I might leave that one up to you and your main squeeze. How about that?
Get around me! All right, sexologist Dr. Nicky approves of my electrical tape fetish. We will chat to you next week. You can check out Dr. Nicky's blogs on Podcast One, iTunes, etc. Sex and Life, and drnicky.com.au, full of good gear as well. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey around the country. 131060, that's the number. And on Insta as well. At Wakey, it's Lakey. This next statement is going to blow your mind. Fantastic pub ammo coming right up. Mr. Kellogg, the man who created Kellogg's Corn Flakes, produced the cereal in the late 19th century and marketed it as healthy, ready to eat, anti-masturbatory morning food. How insane is that? So Mr. Kellogg, he was strictly religious. And this was, I think, very early 90s. Let's just say 1902 as a guess. He was a Seventh-day Adventist and worked as a physician who staunchly believed in celibacy and that sex was unhealthy and immoral. God, glad he doesn't listen to this show. Mr. Kellogg was such a firm believer that sex was damaging to the mind and body that he slept in a separate room from his wife and never had sex, choosing instead to adopt all their children. He created Corn Flakes, one of the most popular breakfast cereals in the world, as an anti-masturbatory morning meal. He thought that would help you not get horny thoughts. Not surprising, because Corn Flakes is about as boring and as bland as the box that it comes in. I can't believe that Corn Flakes are created with such a controversy back in the early 1900s. I can't believe that that's been swept under the rug and Corn Flakes has managed to withstand the test of time as a breakfast classic. I've always said it. Never trust someone who has cornflakes every morning. Don't mind it every now and then, even with a bit, you've got to have a bit of sugar. And then really, you're only eating it for the milk, for the sugary milk after that, surely. I think the milk that the cornflakes have soaked in is tastier than the actual flakes themselves. How the hell is cornflakes one of the most popular breakfast cereals on the planet? Sure, it should have just been a phase. Should have been just a phase. I get it. There's that weird abstract looking chicken thing on the box. That's kind of fun. That's interesting. Sometimes they might put a toy in the cornflakes. That'll get some people to buy it. But how is it still clucking around today as one of the most popular breakfast cereals? I reckon it's a shit cereal. And that's what I'm talking about on 131060. Shit cereals. What cereal are people buying out there that you think, how is this still in rotation? How is this still haunting the aisles? I thought it was just a promotional box. I thought maybe once they'd gotten rid of all this excess cereal, they wouldn't be making any more in the factory. Shit cereals on 131060. I mean, there's so many. The cereal aisle is pretty much one of the biggest aisles in Woolworths. You know which one I always think is a bit bizarre? Sustain. Ugh. Remember Sustain? Who the hell is still eating Sustain? Sustain was the ones, I've got it up here. It's that one with a red box. And it's got Sustain on the front. Sustain was like they'd got all the damaged cornflakes, all the pale bits of All brand, and then the rejected raisins and a Sultana brand, just clushed it all together. And those little oat pops as well. Unpopped rice bubbles. I bet that's what it is. I bet Sustain is just the rejected cereals of all the other the Kellogg's things, and it falls into this one bucket, and they're like, right, let's just call this Sustain. Yeah, that'd be good. It's healthy. It's boring. It's bland. It tastes of nothing. Sustain. That'll sustain people during the war. That's what it should be used for. Rations. Send it to third world countries. Who the hell is eating Sustain? Ugh. Rant over. Shit cereals on 131060. What should be banished from the market? We'll get your calls on the air next.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Chatting shit cereals. I mean, how do some of these things get onto the sales floor at Woolies, Coles and RGAs around the country? It's redonkulous. I have a theory that I stumbled across just before. I don't even think it's a conspiracy theory. I genuinely dead set think that that boring cereal Sustain is unpopped rice bubbles mixed with rejected raisins from Sultana brand, the bland, bleached bits of bran from All brand, and the cornflakes that couldn't make it to the cornflakes boxes in time. Just mash it all together. Yeah, let's just make it. Yeah, just call it Sustain. Yeah, Sustain. That'll cut costs. That'll make profits. God, it's disgusting. Can't believe cornflakes is up there as one of the most popular, most classic cereals of all time. That's as bland as the box it comes in as well. Fun fact, by the way, cornflakes were created by Mr. Kellogg, a Seventh-day Adventist who staunchly believed in no sex ever and released the meal as a healthy, ready-to-eat, anti-masturbatory morning snack. And that's true. Michael from Melbourne, shit cereal? What do you reckon?
Shit cereal, rice bubbles, mate. Absolute bland crap.
Yes, that's worse. That's worse than the cornflakes. It is. It's just unpopped rice. It's just unpopped rice. There's nothing.
The only way it tastes good if you smash a shitload of Milo all over it.
Yeah, I see. Well, I mean, then you may as well just have Cocoa Pops.
Well, it tastes better than rice bubbles, so that I like your theory.
I feel one of the giveaways to a shit cereal is that they've got to sell it with something else. I think Snap crackle and pop. If they were real life little men, they'd have a lot to answer for, because that's the only reason anyone's buying this and anyone's getting inspired by the rice bubbles. I think it's more the thought that there's three young little pixies sort of making the noises of the rice bubble pop. I think that's what's selling it more than the taste itself. It's amazing what a bit of marketing can do. I've just brought up the rice bubbles here. Look at these three smug little pixie things. Snap, crackle and pop. Their creepy old smiles. Seven vitamins and minerals, they say. No artificial colours or flavours. Yeah, there's no colour in there. That's no surprise to anyone. So true. So true, Michael from Melbourne. Thank you for your shit cereal.
Thank you.
Rice bubbles. Nathan from Melton. What do you reckon, shit cereal?
Yeah, big dog, how you going?
Hello. Good, good, good. Especially good because I don't indulge in sugary, high glycemic index cereals. I have sustained energy. I have eggs, brown bread, slow-digesting carbohydrates like oats, which is a very shit cereal, but I don't treat it like a cereal. And they don't market oats like it's some sort of amazing thing. It just comes in a bland see-through pack. Anyway, your shit cereal, please.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of, like, Fruit Loops. Ooh. You know, just the real sugary.
Yeah, yep.
Shit.
They were quite popular in my grade 5 class. I feel most of the cool kids were getting on the Fruit Loops, and my mum wouldn't let me have them. And I thank her to this day. I think that's disgusting. That's a horrible thing. And once again, the mascot theory is coming out. They've got to have Sam the Toucan to sell that thing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the sugary stuff.
No, not at all. It's not a good way to start the day. It's not a good way to end the day. It's not a good way to conduct your day in general. And they can't even spell fruit right on the bloody thing. It's F-R-O-O-T Loops. Look at Toucan Sam humping that vine like some sort of sex pest bird.
Yeah, most of the American cereals are pretty bad too. Most of them are just bloody peanut butter covered in some crunchy shit.
Yeah, well, I've been to America and you just see the sort of food that they eat over there. There's no wonder that they're so obese, a lot of them. The soda is ridiculous.
Crazy.
Their ideal serving of soda is like 2 litres of soda in a cup, not even in a bottle. Thing is insane.
Yeah, the McDonald's meals are probably like double what ours are.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Aaron in Hobart.
How you going, big dog?
Yeah, good. What's the shit cereal?
Mate, they're all shit.
They are all shit. I haven't eaten cereal for years. I have not fallen for that.
Mate, the only thing that eats cereal in my family is the horses. You know, the bloody meat, bacon, eggs on toast.
Yeah.
Tomato sauce.
I'm with you. And if you do so need some sort of crunchy thing with milk for breakfast, oats. Oats.
Yeah.
Slow digesting. But they don't dress that up. They're not claiming that they want to be part of the cereal family. It's very what you see is what you get with oats.
Precisely. It's just, you know, no crap. Just right oats.
Straight to the business. Thanks, Aaron from Hobart. Finally, some sort of enlightened being who is not getting conned by the cereal world. Kellogg's far out. They should be up there with Coca-Cola. I wouldn't be surprised if they're the same company. Would not be surprised one bit. And now that we know the creation of cornflakes and who Mr. Kellogg really was, I hope we all rethink our poor cereal choices.